Support for Newsworthy comes from Enlivion, providing affordable housing and supportive services to help build strong foundations for a better future for hardworking families, seniors, and the disabled in Charlotte. More information available at enlivion.com. And from Thrivent, a financial services company working with individuals and families to develop strategies for managing their money and planning for the future. More information at mark.hargrove@thrivent.com.
From 90.7 WFAE, this is Newsworthy for Wednesday, April 23rd, 2025. I'm Eric Thiel. The Charlotte-Mecklenburg Schools Board of Education voted Tuesday night to approve the superintendent's proposed 2025-2026 budget. But after debate in recent weeks over whether the district should pursue a higher increase to the teacher's salary supplement, the vote was split. James Farrell has more.
The $2.1 billion budget passed in a 5-3 vote, with board members Melissa Easley, Lisa Klein, and Summer Nunn voting against it. While all board members claim the state is underpaying teachers, some, like Easley, argue that the budget's 5% increase to the county-funded teacher salary supplement isn't enough in light of the state's shortcomings. Here's Easley.
This means the burden falls more heavily on our local funding to make up the difference, which, let me be clear, is not something that should be happening, but these are the cards that we are dealt.
Those who voted yes argued that the county has long supported CMS and that it shouldn't be responsible for picking up the state's slack. The vote came after debate in recent weeks over the teacher supplement. Several community members and board members had called for an increase as high as 10%, given uncertainty in funding at the state and federal levels. Mecklenburg County, which is expecting its own revenue shortfalls this year, will consider the district's $667 million funding request next month. James Farrell, WFAE News.
The federal Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals Tuesday said the North Carolina Board of Elections cannot begin contacting overseas and military voters and requiring them to send a copy of their photo ID. The stay is a setback for Republican Jefferson Griffin, who is challenging Democratic incumbent Allison Riggs for a seat on the state Supreme Court. Steve Harrison has this update.
Nearly 6 months after the election, Riggs still holds a narrow 734-vote lead over Griffin, who is challenging the unofficial result. The fight is now mostly over a few thousand overseas and military ballots in a handful of Democratic counties. Griffin wants them thrown out because they didn't provide a photo ID. Riggs says they should count because the Board of Elections didn't require ID for those voters before the election. The North Carolina Supreme Court earlier this month sided with Griffin. The court gave those voters 30 days to provide their ID or their ballots would be discarded. Riggs asked the Fourth Circuit to intervene. A three-judge panel did that on Tuesday, stopping that 30-day challenge clock from starting. It appears the dispute will go back to federal court and U.S. District Judge Richard Myers. Steve Harrison, WFAE News.
Mecklenburg County Manager Dina DiOrio told commissioners Tuesday that there are no plans in the works to reopen the county's juvenile detention center. She said Sheriff Gary McFadden hasn't sought money to reopen the facility.
There is no money in his budget for that. He has not asked for any money to reopen the juvenile detention center. So at this point, I would say there's nothing happening there.
McFadden closed the county's juvenile jail in 2022 amidst a staffing shortage. Since then, juveniles arrested in Mecklenburg County have been housed in other counties. At the Cabarrus County Commission meeting Tuesday night, a representative of the local party defended its nominee, LaMarie Austin Stripling, to replace outgoing chair Chris Miesmer. A judge has temporarily blocked Austin Stripling from joining the commission after a group of residents sued, saying she was improperly appointed before Miesmer officially resigned. County GOP Vice Chair Jim Quick urged the board to keep her in consideration.
Commissioners, I suspect each of you have a name that you may be wanting to advance. I encourage you during this pause, take the time and speak to LaMarie. We pledge that she's one of the best people that we've ever put forth for this commission.
Austin Stripling is treasurer of the County Republican Party. Among those seeking to block her appointment are Holly Edwards and Lee Brown, who unsuccessfully ran last month for chair and vice chair of the Cabarrus County GOP. The temporary restraining order expires Friday. Superior Court Judge Stephen Warren is expected to rule on the case by then. The town of Davidson approved a location for the community's future Red Line train station on Tuesday night. WCNC reports the town board of commissioners voted unanimously to support a proposed location near the intersection of Griffith and Jackson Streets. It would include a new fire station, parking garage, and mixed-use development. Charlotte airport workers and government officials held a rally outside of the government center in Uptown Charlotte Tuesday. Workers are asking for improvements to working conditions and higher pay. Kenneth Lee has more.
What do we want?
Fast case!
And when do we want it?
Now!
Say, what do we want?
Fast case!
And when do we want it?
Now!
Union members led the way with chants, and they're pushing Charlotte City Council to adopt an ordinance they say would address high turnover and improve airport safety by setting minimum wage, benefit, and training requirements for airline contractors. A Service Employees International Union survey found 43% of cabin cleaners servicing American Airlines at Charlotte Douglas International Airport have trouble paying for housing. The workers are employed by ABM and Prospect Airport Services and are contracted by American Airlines. Access Control Agent Sean Montgomery emphasized ground workers' critical role.
We're the very people that make this airport go round. Regardless of whether if you want to admit it or not, regardless of whether the way that you view us, regardless of the way that you might seem that, you know, our situation isn't your problem, but our situations could end up being your problem due to mishaps and accidents.
The demonstration included Congresswoman Alma Adams, Councilwoman Tijuana Brown, and former council member Braxton Winston. Workers plan to attend next week's city council meeting. Kenneth Lee, WFAE News.
North Carolina Governor Josh Stein spent Tuesday in Winston-Salem, where he delivered remarks to businesses and government leaders. He applauded Winston-Salem for attracting new businesses and also criticized the Trump administration's trade policies, which Stein argues will raise construction costs for Western North Carolinians rebuilding from Hurricane Helene.
If construction costs go up, let's say they go up 20%, we are going to be able to produce a proportionately fewer number of houses in reconstruction. It is just math.
Stein also said he was concerned with how new tariffs could impact the state's largest industry, agriculture. About a quarter of the state's crops are exported abroad. More than 100 fifth graders from Charlotte's Mallard Creek STEM Academy celebrated Earth Day Tuesday by learning about the relationship between food and sustainability. They also tried their hand at making some cookies using healthy ingredients. James Farrell has more.
Kennedy Patton and Peyton Morgan mix a bowl of raisins, carrots, oats, and flour together. Then it's time to add the eggs. The girls have never tried these so-called healthy honey carrot cookies before, and they're admittedly unsure of how they'll come out. But Peyton says they're excited nonetheless.
We use healthier ingredients, and also we shape them into hearts, because.
And as Mallard Creek students had just learned prior to entering the kitchen, there's a relationship between food that's good for you and food that's good for the environment. It was all part of an Earth Day program hosted by Electrolux at the appliance company's headquarters in Charlotte. Students learned how plants and vegetables have a smaller carbon footprint than meats, and how trying new things, diversifying food sources, and eliminating food waste all help the environment. It's the second year Electrolux has organized the program in North America. James Farrell, WFAE News.
Latino faithful in Charlotte continue to mourn the death of Pope Francis, remembered as a champion for immigrants, the poor, and other marginalized communities. Julian Berger has more.
Pope Francis died early Monday morning at 88. Born in Argentina, he was the first pope from the Americas and the first Jesuit to lead the Catholic Church. He was more than just a pope. He was a person who arrived with humility, with many messages that went beyond any particular opinion that any pope has ever had with Catholics and people in general. That's Claudio Bonus. He moved to Charlotte from Argentina around 20 years ago. As an immigrant, Francis's message always resonated with him. The immigrant is a person who sometimes doesn't have many opportunities, so we have to build bridges, not walls. So it's another of his phrases that will make a difference. Bonus identifies as Catholic, but says he doesn't attend church regularly. Still, he says Francis showed people how to have compassion, regardless of one's faith.
sorprendente.
It's really surprising to see people who say they don't believe in religion at all. They said, I'm an atheist, but I felt sad for the loss of this man, for the values he held, and for the message he had.
Bonus says Francis also brought greater acceptance of Latino culture into the Catholic religion. Julian Berger, WFAE News.
A conference that aims to help teachers of color network, exchange ideas, and absorb different teaching techniques is set to take place in Charlotte beginning Friday at a time when diversity efforts are under attack. Elvis Meneyese has more.
The Center for Racial Equity in Education, known as CREED, is hosting its fourth annual Teaching in Color Summit. This year's event will include 11 workshops that focus on a range of topics like supporting students with learning difficulties, advocating for immigrant students, and tips on how to advance in the field. Camille Bostick is CREED's program director. She says part of the goal is to help retain teachers.
What we heard from teachers is that educators of color want a space where they can be together, where they can be kind of centered and know that they belong, know that they are wanted, that their expertise is valued.
This is the second summit in Charlotte. It will also feature sessions prioritizing educators' well-being through yoga sessions and sound baths. The two-day event kicks off with an awards ceremony that recognizes the work of select educators of color across the state. Elvis Meneyese, WFAE News.
And for Wednesday, April 23rd, that's Newsworthy. I'm Eric Thiel.